Mishnah says, Megillah Nikres, B'yud Aleph, B'yud Beis, B'yud Gimel, B'yud Dalet, Desvav. Megillah can be read on the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, or 15th of Adar, like Pachas V'leyoser, not less, meaning not earlier in the month, and not more, not later. How do you get those 5 days? Krafen HaMakof and Chayma Mimos Yeshua Ben Nun, cities that are surrounded by a wall since the times of Yeshua Ben Nun, why Yeshua we'll talk about in the Gemara, Korin V'tesvav, they read on the 15th. The villages and large cities, as we'll define later on in the paragraph what large cities are. They have 10 baflanim, they have 10 people, that are the 10 people in shul.
Does it sound like disparaging to call them baflanim?
No, because they're bought off from work, so they're able to focus on learning and davening. We'll talk about it later in the paragraph. We'll get back to Yud Aleph and Yud Gimel soon. So the mission is starting. How do you get to Yud Aleph? The walled cities have tesvav. Farim by Yeros Yeros Kerim Yadalid. They read on the 14th. So where do you get the 11th, 12th, and 13th? Eloshak Farim Akdim and the Yom HaKnisa. But the villages are allowed to move it up to the Yom HaKnisa. The Yom HaKnisa, Rashi says, is the day that the day that the villagers come into town. Rashi says they come in to go to Beis Din, because the small villages, only have them in larger cities. The Beis Din sits Monday and Thursday, so therefore Monday and Thursday is the time when the villagers come in. Other Mephoshim say it's not so much Dine Torah, but it's more they come in for Kriyas HaTorah, which takes place on Monday and Thursday. So Rashi also says, by the way, that one of the people from the villages themselves don't know how to read the Megillah, therefore somebody from the city has to read for them. Many other Mephoshim argue with that concept, because they say, how can that be? You're telling me then that somebody from the city, for example, can lay in for them on the 11th or 12th or whatever day, whichever day of the month falls out on the appropriate day of the week. And then again, they're not a benefiyuv yet, because their own fiyuv was on the 14th. They also discuss the issue. There might be a problem of lotus go to do that you're making different minhagim in the same city. So therefore, many other Rishonim learn that what it means is that, no, the Bnei HaKfarim come into the city, because they don't have a minion in their village necessarily, but who lanes for them, one of their own people, who himself is chayav in Megillah that day.
Then
he can read over the area.
So would they come from coming in, he put a lane from there, they never have a
minion? They have a minion, the pastures, yeah. They may not have had a Megillah.
But the principle of hearing the story is on the Yachid or only on a Rabbi. In other words, if you're an individual, you're obligated to go and find a minion to hear Kriyas HaTorah, or only if there's a minion?
I think so, yes. In the case of Megillah reading, yeah, technically you can read it with Yachid, but you still, B'roi Vam Hadras Malach, you're supposed to lay in it with a minion when possible.
What was the Torah reading? You're obligated to find a minion, or you're by yourself? You've got to run around and get a minion?
I think it says that you're obligated. But I don't remember for sure. I'd have to look in the Kriyas HaTorah. We'll probably have it later in the Masechta when we get to that part. Okay. Anyway, Kate, how does this work? If the 14th of Adar comes out on a Monday, so the villages and the large cities laying on that day, because it's Monday, if they're anywhere coming into town, the walled cities read the next day, which is Tuesday, the 15th. If Purim comes out on Tuesday or on Wednesday. By the way, nowadays, three of the cases in the Mishnah don't apply. Purim can't come out nowadays on Monday, on Wednesday, or on Shabbos. Because that's how the calendar is set up. We talked about in Rosh Hashanah. We don't want Yom Kippur to fall out on Friday or on Sunday. Since the length of all the months from Adar until through Tishrei are fixed. Then necessarily that means to prevent Yom Kippur being on Friday, then we can't have Purim on Monday, 4 days earlier in the week, and to prevent Yom Kippur being Sunday, we can't have it on Wednesday, and then Purim can't be on Shabbos because then Hashanah Rabbah will be on Sunday, and we can't bang the Arabah. So if Purim comes out Tuesday or Wednesday, Kfarim Akdim and the Yom HaKnisa, the villages move it back to the Yom HaKnisa. So the Yom HaKnisa in that case is, if Purim was on Tuesday, the Yom HaKnisa is the day before Monday, so then it's the 13th. If Purim is on Wednesday, then the Yom HaKnisa is 2 days earlier, so it's the 12th. So far we have the 12th and the 13th as possibilities. Yeah, we'll get to the 11th soon. So Kfarim Akdim and the Yom HaKnisa, the villages move it up to the Yom HaKnisa. The large cities read that day, and the walled cities read the next day as usual. If Purim comes out on Thursday, the villages and large cities read that day, and the walled cities read the next day, Friday the 15th. Chalius Erev Shabbos. If Purim comes out on Erev Shabbos, which again that can't happen nowadays. Kfarim Makdim in the Yom HaKnisa, the villages move up to the Yom HaKnisa to Thursday. Vayos Vayaros Gedolos and Mechavas Chaim Akarin Rebbe Yom, and the big cities and the walled cities all read on that day. The walled cities don't read on Shabbos. We're going to talk about the Gemara in a few days later, the Rabbah. We don't want people back in the Kavi Megillah to on Shabbos. So therefore, the walled cities move it up to Friday. This can happen nowadays. And when this happens, there's only one city in the world where for sure we read on the 15th nowadays, and that's Yerushalayim. All the other cities we're going to get to as we go in the next few days, in the Gemara, various other cities around Eretz Yisrael, there's status about them. There's a suffix whether they're considered to be surrounded by a wall, Tveria being one example, or whether they're in the same location as they used to be. So because of that, there's a number of cities in Eretz Yisrael, and Rishonim also talk about some cities in Chutzlar, where they had a suffix whether to read the 14th or the 15th. Yerushalayim is the only one that definitely reads the 15th.
Because of the
walls, and then it's definitely still in the same place. We'll get to that in the Gemara when we talk about Samoch Venera. We'll get there. But be that as it may, so nowadays, when Purim comes out for us on Friday, indeed, the B'nai Yerushalayim read the Megillah on Friday. They actually have Purim Misholosh. They have a three-day Purim because some of the mitzvahs of Purim they do on Friday, in particular the Kriyas Megillah, some they do on Shabbos, and some they do on Sunday. On Shabbos they read Vayavah Amalek, not Vayavah, on Shabbos they read Vayavah Amalek, the extra reading for Purim. And I believe they have the Soda on Shabbos as well.
Not
Mishalas Manas. Well, maybe the Yerushalayim has an Eruv. Anyway. Chalias b'Shabbos, if Purim, or Purim that is, comes out on Shabbos, Kfarim v'Yoros Gelos Makdimin v'Yom in the Yom, the Purim the Yom of Knesset, and the villages and large cities move up to Thursday. The villages, we understand why, because that's when they come in Thursday. Why the big cities? Because since they can't read it on Shabbos anyway, we may as well, as long as we're moving it back, we'll move it back to the same day as some other people are doing it anyhow, which is Thursday. Having said that, though, some Rishonim have a different gear, so which is that actually the villages read on Thursday, the large cities read on Friday, and the Mekafas Chaima, as I'm going to say, the cities surrounded by a wall read on Sunday. So according to that, then the villages and the large cities do indeed read on separate days, Thursday and Friday, respectively. Chalis Achar Shabbos, if Purim comes out the day after Shabbos, the Sunday, Kfarim Akdim in the Yom HaKnisa, the villages move up to the Yom HaKnisa, that's where we have the 11th. Because the Yom HaKnisa, previous Yom HaKnisa, is 3 days before Sunday, Thursday. So that gets us to the 11th. By Yoros Yoros Koren Rebbe Yom, the large cities read that day, and the Mokopas Chama read the next day, Monday the 15th. There's a lot to talk about the Gemara is going to talk where we get these 5 days from, but there's a lot of interesting Ramadim in this. Some of them I mentioned yesterday during the Siyum, like Yud Aleph and Tesvav representing respectively Vav-Kay and Yud-Kay. There's also the idea that if you add up these numbers, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, you get 65, which first of all is the gematria of the Sheikh Adonai. So we talk about in the Megillah, Hashem's name never appears. So here we have, you know, the name of Hashem is hidden in the very days that we read the Megillah. The Chida, I think it is, also talks about the idea that 65 is also the gematria of the word Hallel. Later on in the Masechta, the Gemara is going to talk about why we don't say Hallel on Purim. And one reason is because Priyata Zuhi Halela, the very reading of the Megillah itself, is the equivalent of saying Hallel. There we have the actual days when we read it. Reb Levick, the Rebbe's father, has a very long discussion about this whole, about this Mishnah, the Gemara, and it. One thing he explains is the five days when we can read the Megillah correspond to the Hay Vorois and correspond to the Hay for the five letters Mansapach. Later on, we'll learn tomorrow about Hashem, about the Gemara is going to get into a whole discussion about Mansapach. He says that's the connection of it to our Gemara over here. So he says you have two primary days, the 14th and the 15th, corresponding to two of those five letters are like the primary strength of the Gvoros. And you have the other three then are kind of incidental. He says also actually that those two are Mem and Nun, thus they appear in Haman's name. And thus Haman's name also, he stands for, it says, stands for Hey Megillah Nikris. The Megillah can be read on 5 days. So like within Haman's name itself is the seeds of his downfall. One of the Mepharshim in the back of the Gemara Cheshek Shlomo says an interesting idea. There's five times where it says the word Purim itself in the Megillah, five times where it names the Yom Tov as Purim. Three of them are written Mole with a Vav. Two of them are written Mole with a Vav. Three of them are written Chassid without it. That corresponds to they have two main days to read and three other possible days.
And main days are the days.
The main days are the ones that are Mole, the ones where it says Purim with a Vav. And the other, the ones where it says Purim with a Vav means those are the 2 days, or to the 2 times that it says that. Those are the 2 days, those are the 2 primary days of reading, 14th for regular cities, 15th for walled cities. The other 3 times when it says it costs, they correspond to the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th, which are possible days to read, but not then. Something more asked. Megillah Nikras Beard Aleph Menalon. Where do we know that Megillah can be read on the 11th, as early as the 11th? What's the meaning? Nalon. Kibbit. We're going to say later a reason. We're going to say later why we know this. It's not really. It doesn't come from a pasuk. Chachamim hekiru ala kfarim. The chachamim made it a leniency for the people in the villages. Lias makdimin liyem aknisa, that they can go ahead and read on the aknisa. Kadeshi yisaku ma'im mazon la'chem shemakrafim, in order that they can supply water and food to the people in the city. Meaning, Rashi says, like this, people need stuff for their Purim sodas. If the people, the villagers, have to come in on the 14th itself to read the Megillah, they're not going to have the time to sell food supplies. So you allow them to come in the Monday and Thursday before, when they're coming in anyway in order to hear Kriyas HaTorah or to go to the Beis Din or whatever. Meanwhile, they can be selling. No, that's the thing. Then that way, on Purim itself, they don't have to hear the Megillah because they've already heard it on the 11th or 12th or 13th. They're free to be able to sell food.
But
still, the Gemara is going to point out, there's still a tachana. So that's what the Mefarshim say. The question, Menalon, usually you use the word Menalon when you're trying to find it from a pasuk. But here, the Gemara is saying, what do you mean? Where do you think there's a pasuk? Where do you think there's a pasuk? It's a tachana chachamim. The answer is anan hafi kamrin. Yes, but what we mean is like this. It seems to be obvious that the Anshik Nesagdela, who are the original ones who set up the Yom Tov Purim and wrote the Megillah and so forth, that they must have been massacred in all these 5 days. Why? If you were to say that the Anshik Nesagdela from that generation only set up that you can read the Megillah the 14th and the 15th, and you're going to tell me later on that Abanan came and made a Tachana, the 11th, 12th, and 13th, can't. Also, Rabbanan ba'akhi takatsu takinu anshik nesagdela. Could later rabbis come and then cancel a takana that the anshik nesagdela made? V'hatnan, we learn in a Mishnah, in Aedius, ein based in yochel avatel, divid based in chavere, one based in cannot be mevatel the words of a previous based in elin can gather a matter of chachma over minyan, unless it's greater in chachma and in numbers. What it means by numbers is many different explanations. The Rambam says that it means the number of chachamim of that generation who agreed with the new takana. Received smicha. We're talking about the ones who received smicha. But there's different other explanations that it means that the av based in is older than the previous one or whatever. There's a lot of different explanations, but whatever it is, clearly no later based in is greater b'chachmo minyan than the anshik nesagdela. So therefore ela pshita kulu anshik nesagdela tiknu. So obviously it must be that anshik nesagdela themselves are the ones who set up all these 5 days. Then the question is, Hecha Remiza. So where in the words of Megillat Esther, which they themselves wrote and published, where do we have a remez for that? Amar of Shaman Ba'aba, Amar of Yechanan, because Amakra, the Pasuk says, L'kayim esimeha Purim ha'ila bizmanehem, in order to keep these days of Purim in their time, which means, Zmanim ha'abitikim l'ahem, which means they set up many different times for them. So it's more than just the couple of days. It's a pasuk towards the end of the Megillah. L'kayim esimeha Purim ha'ila bizmanehem. Wait a minute. You need the word bizmanehem for its own purpose. The point is like this. The Gemara's question is like this. You need the word bizmanehem to say that Purim must be kept in its time. The answer is imken lemakro zman. If that were the case, the Purim should say l'kayim esmeya Purim ha'ila bizman in its time. My zmanehem, that means zmanim tova, that means many different times. Well, back happy, but even so, we still need the plural. We still need the plural for a different limud. We need it to teach us. Zmane shel zeh lo kizmane shel zeh. The time of one group is not like the time of the other. Namely, the regular cities only read on the 14th, not on the 15th. The walled cities only read on the 15th, not on the 14th. Bizman Nehem teaches us that each one has its own Zman. If it just said Bizman, it would mean everybody reads at the same time.
Each one in their appropriate
time. The answer is, imkein lemakro zman nom. Yes, but if that's the case, the Torah could have just, the pasuk could have just said zman nom, which would be the plural of zman. Mai zmanehem shamet minakulo. So you have it, effectively what you're doing is you're breaking down the word into three things. You have the word zman, which tells us the Torah must be kept in its proper time. Zman nom, which tells us that the regular cities and the walled cities have a different time for it. And zmanehem, which tells us that there's more time than just those 2 days when you can read the Megillah. Okay, well, once you have that, then you can say Zmanehem means many different times. And the answer is Zmanehem Dumi Zmanam. The word Zmanehem has to be similar to Zmanam. Mazmanam Trey, just like the basic time, the 14th and the 15th, is 2 days. Azmanehem Trey, then the word Zmanehem also has to mean that we're adding 2 days, not a whole bunch. Well, then the question is, the Amos. So the question is, the mission had added 3 days. The question is, maybe say then that the 2 extra days are the 12th and the 13th. Where do you get the 11th? The answer is, just like what Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said, which we're going to have later in the sugya, zman kehila lakol, yud gimel zman kehila lakol, that the 13th is a time when everybody is gathering. What does that mean? Rashi says it means that is the original time when the Jewish people gathered together to fight against their enemies, the 13th of Adar. So therefore, we don't need a special limud to include it. It's obvious, in other words, that the 13th, which is when the actual mess happened, should be a day when you're allowed to read the Megillah.
So we're taking out this out of the Bible, and
then
you have the
whole extra. No, so we're saying that the 14th and 15th Megillah itself. The 13th, by implication, we know if that's the day they fought, then for sure that's the day you can read the Megillah. If there's two left, then that would have to be the 11th and 12th. Hachanami, the same thing over here. Yud Gimel Zman Kehila Lakol Hivalei Tzarech Rabuya. Now, this that was saying that Yud Gimel Zman Kehila Lakol, not everybody agrees with Rashi on this. In particular, a lot of the Rishonim explain that Yud Gimel Zman Kehila Lakol means something else entirely. Nothing to do with the fact that they gathered on that day in the times of the Megillah, because, the whole point is they set the Yom Tov up on the day when they rested, not the day they fasted. Not the day when they fought. So there's a different explanation. Yud Gimel Zman Kehila Lakol means that the 13th is the day when everybody gathers together for Tainus Esther. Everybody is gathered together in Shul for Tainus Esther. So therefore, it's obvious once people are gathered together, then it's obvious that you can be reading the Megillah then. The Siddush is the 11th or the 12th. By the way, the Shiltis from one of the Shiltis from one of the early Gaonim, Rabbi Chaya Gaon, has a completely different explanation of how the whole system in our Mishnah. What we had said in the Mishnah is that Yom HaKnissa means Monday or Thursday when they come in to hear the Torah. He explained that actually Yom HaKnissa means exactly what we just said is Zman Kehila, Tainus Esther. So what is it, he says? Therefore, how do you get the 11th, 12th, and the 13th? Normally, Tainus Esther is on the 13th. Suppose that the 13th falls out on Friday, you don't fast on Friday, if you can help it, like we learned in Tainus, then you move it back to the 12th, Thursday. Suppose the Tainus Esther comes out on Shabbos, as happens nowadays, you move it back again to Thursday, which is the 11th. So that's how you get the 11th, 12th, or 13th. It depends what day of the month Tainus Esther comes out on. Nothing to do with whether it's Monday or Thursday. Okay, but if you're saying to add more days, maybe who says it means to add them before Purim? Maybe it means to add them after Purim, the 16th and the 17th. The Shitzavid, yeah, the 16th and the 7th. Maybe in other words, say the basic times for reading the Megillah are the 12th, or the 14th and 15th. And then, in addition, since the plus is the same, with Manayim, then you add 2 more days, the 16th and the 17th.
But the 13th also.
Maybe the 13th also, maybe not. But whatever, it's certainly why you're saying you add in the 11th and 12th. The answer is Velo Yaver. Yes, but the Pasuk says about Purim, V'lo Yaver. The simple meaning of V'lo Yaver means that Purim will never go away. That's always the Yom of Purim. But the Gemara is darshaning it means V'lo Yaver, you're never allowed to pass the days of Purim without the Megillah having been read. So once the 14th or 15th are passed, it's too late already.
Where is the Pasuk
V'lo Yaver? It's also in the Megillah over there. What's the Pasuk? Ki mu v'shibla yehudim aleim v'alzarem, v'alkol anuvim aleim V'lo Yaver. We're darshaning for V'lo Yaver, then that's it. Yeah. The Rebbe used to quote a few times though in Sichus when Purim came out on Thursday and when Purim came out on Thursday and therefore the Shabbos after Purim was the 16th. The Rebbe used to point out, after all, even a Hava Amina in Torah is also part of Torah. So if the Gemara is supposing that the Simcha Purim should extend to the 16th and the 17th, then yes, there is reason to say that it should. Even though the Gemara ends up saying, even though the Gemara says, even though because we slog it up from a plastic, but nevertheless, you still have, there's a certain Simcha, yeah. Yeah. That's one explanation. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani, Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani says, I have a different way of learning this. Amakra, the pasuk says, Kayamim asher nachu b'hem ha-yehudim, like the days on which the Jewish people rested, which means yamim ki yamim, which means you have to have just like the number of days that the Jews rested in the unwalled cities. They rested on the 14th. In Shushan they rested on the 15th. They have 2 days of rest. Therefore, kayamim, like those days, the equivalent number of days is the number of days when the Megillah is implied, when the words of the Megillah itself are implying that you can read the Megillah, and they are the Rabbis Yudalafi days to include the 11th and 12th, 2 days to correspond to the 2 days of rest. Again, the question is aimed at Shreiser play. So again, say that the 2 days are the 12th and 13th, and again, Amar Shemayit Yud Gimel Mankiel Lakolhi, the 13th is when everybody gathered, either according to Rashi that they gathered to fight, or according to everybody else that they gather for Tainus Esther. Well, it's sort of a little boya, so you don't have to have a special limit for that. And again, Ve'ema Shemayit Shivsa, maybe say that it means 16th and 17th, same thing. Velo Yavok, see if the pasuk says don't go beyond the dates. So we have two different limudim, one from Bizmanehem and one from Kayamim. Question is, Rav Shimon Nachmani, my time alar Amar Bizmanehem. Why doesn't Rav Shimon Nachmani like the limit from Zmanayim? He says, Zman, Zmanim, Zmanayim, Lay Mashmala. He doesn't hold of this concept that you can break down the word, could have said Zman, could have said Zmanim, it says Zmanayim. He doesn't go for that idea. Yeah. But if Shaman Ba'aba, my time, Layamim, Kayamim, okay, why isn't Shaman Ba'aba used from the word Kayamim? Amalacha, Hula Dirtis, so to speak. That means that when the Pasuk is saying Kayamim, saying that in all future years, in all future generations, you should be celebrating on the same days that they rested. It's not saying extra days every year. It's saying on those very days, the 14th and the 15th, Kayamim, like those days, are the days that you have to celebrate in future years. Well, there's the question, why anyway do we have, I mean, this is the only mitzvah, really, or one of the only mitzvahs, where we have this kind of thing where different groups of Jews are told to do the mitzvah on different days. One equivalent of it would be nowadays when, you know, if a person crosses a date line during Sefirot HaOmer and they end up celebrating Shavuos on a different day, but that's really because that's more because you go according to your personal count. That's because you go according to your personal count. But this that was saying in the Hatzilah that you set up the 14th for one group and the 15th for the other, why is that? The Ramban has an interesting idea about it. The Ramban says by the time the events of the Megillah happened, most of the Jews were actually living in Eretz Yisrael. He says because he understands that when Kodesh had announced a few years before that all Jews are able to go to Eretz Yisrael and build a business, he learns that a substantial part of the Jewish people actually took advantage of that. That's how he learned. Now, the cities of Eretz Yisrael at that time were destroyed. They didn't have walls because they'd been knocked down by the Babylonians 70 years earlier, 50 or 70 or whatever it is years earlier. What happened when it comes to story reporting? The Jews who are in these unwalled cities are the ones in particular danger because the Goyim can harass them. The ones who are in walled cities, in whatever walled cities they were in Eretz Yisrael, were pretty much solidly Jewish, so they're not really in much danger. The Ramban is saying the Jews who were outside Eretz Yisrael was less, you know, were not as concerned with them. There were fewer of them anyway. Most of the Jews were in Eretz Yisrael. Some of them are in walled cities. Some of them are in unwalled cities. The ones in unwalled cities are in danger because the Goyim can come and attack them. The ones in walled cities, not so much. What happened, therefore? So when the Nes Purim happened, he said, the Jews in the unwalled cities voluntarily, on their own, started after that year when they wiped out the Goyim who were harassing them and whatever. Voluntarily, after that, they started making a thing. Every year, we're going to celebrate that year, the 14th of Adar, as a day of celebration. I'll bet if like you have in different Jewish communities where they set up city programs to remember individual events that happened over there. The people in the walled cities took the view we were never in that much danger anyway. They didn't bother making a day of celebration. Later on, the Chachamim decided that, you know what, we have a source in the Torah for the concept of Purim. We're going to learn on Daf Zayin how the Chachamim figured that out. So therefore, we have to make a Purim for everybody. So therefore, we're going to make it. So therefore, we're going to keep, for the unwalled cities, we'll keep it on the 14th, because that's the day when they rested. For the 15th, for the walled cities, we're going to go according to the paradigm of Shushan. And Shushan itself, obviously, they only rested on the 15th, because they were fighting on the 14th as well. Therefore, we're going to use that as a paradigm for all the other walled cities. You people were thinking you don't have to celebrate Purim at all. you do have to celebrate for it. But you're going to celebrate it the way Shushan celebrates it, a day later. Why then are we going according to Yeshua ben Nun? We'll get to that later.
And the people in Han they were resting on the
14th. They were resting on the 14th, and they had already made it they had already come up on their own with the idea that the 14th should be a Yom Tov, because the day they were saved, so therefore you continue doing that on the 14th. The Ran has a big problem with this. Notably, the Ran says, what are you talking about? Most of the Jews were in Eretz Yisrael time. The Pasuk says they were spread out. They're spread out. Mahodu had Kush, Amacha Befuzo Befoda, etc. So the Ran and a number of other Rishonim have different explanations of why we have the 14th and the 15th. Some of it is vaguely similar. I mean, some of it is the idea that again, the Jews in the walled cities rested on the 14th. The Jews in Shushan rested on the 15th. They didn't want to make it the kind of only for Shushan. Who says there's always going to be Jews in Shushan? We don't want that part of the nest to be forgotten. So they wanted to make that it applies to all cities that are like Shushan that have a wall. Again, why they made it a point to Yeshua ben Nun rather than Achashverosh, we'll talk about on Amud Beis. One of the Cheshek Shlomo says an interesting idea. Since as the Gemara is going to say later, they actually found a remez in Sukkim in the Torah that there should be a Yom Tov Purim and that we read the Megillah and whatever, they didn't want people to think that it is actually a mitzvah in the Torah. Therefore, they made it two separate days, the 14th and the 15th, to make it clear that it's only Dirabanan. This that we're saying in the Mishnah, that you have five different days when you can lay in the Megillah, is only according to Rabbi Akiva, who is Stimsa, which means that many Stam Mishnahs are according to Rabbi Akiva. The Dorish is Zman's Manehem. That according to Darshan, this thing of Zman's Manehem, that we said that we get five different days. But the Chachamim say, no, you can only read the Megillah in its time, 14th and 15th, no other days. Meitzvah Gemara says, have a contradiction. Amar Rav Yehuda, Braisa says, Rav Yehuda says, Emesai, when is this that you have the 11th, 12th, and 13th? Bizman Shashanim Ketitnan, when the years are proper, meaning when the years and months are being established by Beis Din, Yisrael, Shuri, and Alan Mosin, and the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, what happens? The Beis Din declares each month and its time, and they're able to send out Shluchim, and everybody is able to know in time when Purim is, and also more importantly, when Pesach is. But nowadays, since people look to Purim, which means, so there's three different explanations of what that means. Rashi says it means people look to Purim to figure out when Pesach is. Not necessarily do the Shluchim arrive in every place in time for Pesach. That's why we in Chuppah have 2 days Pesach, and then 2 days of Olam. So what happens? People figure like this. People figure whatever day Purim was, we'll count 30 days from that, and after that is Pesach. So what happens? If you make the Megillah reading on the 11th, for example, 3 days before Purim, people are going to think that day was actually Purim. They're going to count 30 days from that. They're going to begin celebrating Pesach, Yud Nisan, and the last few days of Pesach, they're going to end up eating chametz. That's one explanation of Mistaklin about it. Second explanation, the Baal Amor says...
No, we have to make
the mountains. No, of course the Beis Din. Of course the Beis Din. We're talking about people far away, in little villages and in little towns in Chutzlars. They're not going to realize they're going to get mixed up. That's one explanation. The Baal Amor on the Rif says another explanation of Mistaklin, but he says the poor people look towards Mikra Megillah. That's when they expect to receive Matanos Lev Yayin. Nowadays, you have a lot more poor people. You can't make it that they're gonna have to go around on different days. So. And then the Rif has a gear, so not Mistak Lin, but Mistak Nin, Melosh and Sakana. So he says what it is we're living under the rule of the Goyim. They already look askance at the idea of us celebrating Purim, that we're celebrating that we defeated a Goyish power. You know, if we make it that we can lay Megillah on five different days, it's going to become a lot more complicated. So, like this, if you have many different days when you can lay in the Megillah, then it's going to get even more publicity. The Goyim are going to know even more about it, and then there'll be even more danger. They might order us to be in the bath a little together. Yeah. So therefore, better to keep it to the 2 days. So therefore, ain't koronos el abizmanos. Rabbi Yehuda says, therefore, nowadays we can only read it in its time, on the 14th of the week. Now we have to consider, Rabbi Yehuda al libidimanos. who is Rabbi Yehuda going according to? Rabbi Yehuda is saying Emasai, which means he's not arguing. He's coming to explain one of the previous shittas, either the Chachamim or Rabbi Akiva. Ilei ma'alib with Rabbi Akiva, so you're going to tell me he's going according to Rabbi Akiva, that he's explaining Rabbi Akiva? After the Bizman Azei, to Lahai Takata. According to Rabbi Akiva, that Takana exists even nowadays. Rabbi Akiva himself lived after the Purim. So it's not Yisrael Shuri and Alam Nassim. Yet he says you can read on the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. Elalav Alibid Rabbanon. So obviously Rabbi Yehuda must be explaining what the Rabbanon are saying. And he's saying, Bizman Shi's Shashan and Katikhnam, Yisrael Shuri and Alam Nassim, when the years are established properly and the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael, then even after the Bizman, then via Karinan. Then at any rate, we do read the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. So how can you tell me that only Rabbi Akiva would hold of those days and Chachamim would not? It seems from the way Rabbi Yehuda says it that even the Chachamim do agree to that. They just said nowadays you can't do that as a practical matter.
Because it cannot be the only kind of exile.
Yes. Right. But in other words, we said according to Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda was saying that according to Chachamim, there was never an idea that you can read the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, only ever the 14th or 15th. But from what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, it seems that obviously there was a time when you could. Tiupta did Rabbi Yehuda. Tiupta, yeah, it's a clear contradiction. Ikadamri, a different version, Amar Rav Avachan Amar Yechanan, Zu Divrei Rav Akiva Stimasa, this that we're saying in the Mishnah that you can read on the 11th, 12th, 13th again, so we're saying in the corner of Rav Akiva, which is the Stam Mishnah, Av Chachamim Amar, but Chachamim say, in principle we do agree, you're allowed to read on those days, but Manazen, nowadays, Harel and Staklin, but since people look at it according to, or endangered in it according to these three different explanations, in Karinaz El Abizmanaz, then you can only read it in its time. In other words, they agree with Rav Akiva on the Essen Din, that you could read it on those days. They're just saying, practically speaking, nowadays you can't do that. Tani Nami Hachi, we learn also in the Braitha, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amasai, Bizman Shashan, Ketikman, Bishol, Shurin, Alam Mosan, Abba Bizman Azeh, but nowadays, Harilam Sakhanba, and Karina Tela Bizmana. We can only read it in its time. In Shulchan Aruch, actually, it brings that even though that is true, even though the halacha is like the Chachamim, that because it's not Hashanim, Ketikman, etc., you can't, nevertheless, it does bring in Shulchan Aruch, if a person is going to be in a situation where on Purim, they're not going to be able to read the Megillah. They're not going to have a Megillah, for example, or whatever. Then they are allowed to read it on one of those earlier days. And actually, it says in Shulchan Aruch even more. The Yerushalmi says, the Yerushalmi learns from the Pasuk in the Megillah, that during the entire Chodesh Adar, if need be, you can read the Megillah. And so it's wrote in Shulchan Aruch, but the Yerushalmi brings Rav Nachman who disagrees with our Mishnah. This is not that it was only 5 days. He says the entire month is partial to Kriyas HaMegillah. No, it doesn't matter. But the point is, the halacha is wrote in Shulchan Aruch that if a person is going to be in an emergency situation where a person is not going to have a Megillah, then he can read it any time earlier in the month. Yeah. Rigmar points out, Rav Ashi kashaled Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda. Rav Ashi found it difficult to reconcile these two statements of Rav Yehuda. That the Braisa had just said, Rabbi Yehuda said that there used to be a time when you could read on the 11th, 12th, and there is right now. It's today instead of tonight, because I'm going to be out of town tonight. Rav Ashi pointed out the problem. We have in this Braisa that we just quoted, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that there was a time when you were allowed to read the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, or 13th, but nowadays not anymore, because you're all not sure in all of us. Rav Ashi had a problem with that, that contradicts another statement of Rabbi Yehuda in Mishnah later in our Masechta, later in our Parah. Therefore, Mukim, Lele Braisa could be by Yehuda. Therefore, he explained that the Braisa was not Rabbi Yehuda, but rather Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. What was his question? You know, me Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bizmana Zahir Mustaklin Bay and Koyuna Zahir Bizmana. You're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that nowadays, since people look towards the Megillah reading or are endangered and whatever, then you can only read a Bizmana? Or a Mini, I have a contradiction. Later, one of the later Mishnayos in our Perek says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amasai, when does this din apply that you're. And you can read the Megillah on those days. Makim shenich nasan b'sheni v'chamishi, in a place where the villagers come into town on Monday and Thursday. Have a makim shenich nasan b'sheni v'chamishi, but in places where they don't come into town on Monday and Thursday, ain't karina es elabizmanav, and they can only read it in its proper time. Which implies makim shenich nasan b'sheni v'chamishi mi'a karinan. So if it's a place even nowadays where as long as they still come in Monday and Thursday, then we can read back to the bizmanav even nowadays. So what is it? In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that these 3 days apply even nowadays. In the Braisa, he's saying only b'shomim and shanim k'tiknam. So what is it? Therefore, mukim lo b'braisa, k'rabbi Yosi by Yehuda. Therefore, he explains the Braisa as being according to Rabbi Yosi by Yehuda. I ask why? Hashem b'kashlej Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, just because he has a theory between two statements of Rabbi Yehuda, mukim lo b'braisa, k'rabbi Yosi by Yehuda. Therefore, he's saying that the Braisa goes according to Rabbi Yosi by Yehuda. Why? You can find other ways to plan for it. Why do you have to change the words of the Braisa? say, for example, that the Mishnah of Yehuda is saying his own Shita, and the Braisa, he's explaining the opinion of the Chachamim, etc. There's a lot of possibilities. The answer is Rav Ashi Shmuelay to Ikad the Tani Lakar of Yehuda, the Ikad the Tani Lakar of Yehuda by Yehuda. It's like this: Rav Ashi had heard two different versions of this braisa. One was some people taught it as it's the words of Rav Yehuda, the Ikad the Tani Lakar of Yehuda by Yehuda. Others taught it as the words of Rav Yehuda by Yehuda. So he figured, Omar, Umid Kashalei to Rav Yehuda by Yehuda. Since Rav Ashi pointed out you have this contradiction in Rav Yehuda's statement, Omar, he thought to himself, I'm the Tani Lakar of Yehuda, lab doctor. Whoever learned this braisa as being the words of Rabbi Yehuda didn't mean it dafka. They must have made a mistake. Mandatoni lakar Rabbi Yehuda by Yehuda dafka. Whoever said that at the point of Rabbi Yehuda by Yehuda, he was more precise in his wording. So therefore, it's not a matter of saying the braisa. It's not a matter of saying that we have to change the words of the braisa. There's anyway two versions of the braisa floating around. So all we're doing is picking one versus the other.
Because one is more.
Because evidently one allows us to avoid this contradiction in what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Mishnah says, "Krakim amachal from chayim meitz Yeshua ben Nun purim b'chamishah." Pull out that the cities that are wall that are surrounded by a wall from the times of Yeshua ben Nun can read on the 15th. Menani mili. How do we know that? Amar Rava, the Amar Kra, the pasuk in Megillah says like this: Alkeina Yehudim Aprozim, and therefore the Jews who are prozim, who are scattered. Rashi explains that the word prozim means the word prozim means unwalled cities. Rashi explains the word prozim literally means scattered, because in a walled city everybody lives close together. In an unwalled city everybody lives in different neighborhoods all over the place. So Jews who are prozim, Hayoshim ba'Arei Aprozim, so who live in the Arei Aprozim, they read the Megillah on the 14th. Which implies, if the prazim babas, if the prazim read on the 14th, must be mokav from b'chamishah, so must be the mokav from read on the 15th. And that's why. Ve'im prazim babas, so maybe say that it means that the Jews in unwalled cities read on the 14th, mokav from klal loy. Maybe the Jews who live in walled cities don't read the Megillah at all. What do you mean they don't read the Megillah at all? Well, obviously, only new aren't people in walled cities, aren't they Jews as well? But heard about Kushkiv, and also the passage says that the mitzvah of Purim was promulgated in the whole kingdom. I heard about Kush, including the walled city.
I heard about Kush included
there
as well.
Yeah, we're going to talk about later on in the Gemara when we get to the Agatha part. When we get to the Agatha part, where it goes through the Megillah pasuk by pasuk and darshens it, the Gemara is going to have a machlokas over there where the Hodu and Kush are at opposite ends of the known world of that time. What is it that Hodu and Kush are right next to each other? And the point is just as easy as Ahasuerus could rule over Hodu and Kush, which are right next to each other. That's how easily he ruled over the whole world. Whatever it is, yes, Eretz Yisrael was part of his empire. The Yaris Mash, the Rabbi Yonis and Ibishas has an interesting quote on this. What do you mean? What is the Gemara even thinking that Jews in walled cities should not have to read the Megillah at all? And he explains it based on this idea of the Ramban that we were saying before, that the Jews in the walled cities, at least in Eretz Yisrael, didn't feel themselves in as much danger. They didn't feel themselves threatened because they were in walled cities. We can bar the gates, and there's no goyim in the city. So therefore, So again, only the unwalled cities voluntarily started celebrating Purim. The walled cities didn't start celebrating until Mordechai and the Sanhedrin told them they have to. So therefore, the Gemara is thinking that maybe they shouldn't have to read the Megillah. But the answer is they do, because, and Rabbi Yonis and Imish make the interesting point, because obviously the Gemara is saying, true, you yourselves weren't in danger, but Lam Yisrael Menu. Aren't you part of Yisrael? You're part of the collective Jewish people. If it hurts them, it hurts you. So yes, you have to read the Megillah, even if you were never in danger, There are actually some Maharshim will point out another interesting idea in that also. The Gemara is going to say later in the Masechta, the Gemara is going to talk about that Ahasuerus ruled the 127 countries that he ruled over with the whole known world. But there's actually a Medrash that says differently. The Medrash in Esther Abba says differently. But actually, Ahasuerus originally ruled over twice as many countries, but then half of them rebelled. Almost half of them rebelled.
Who said that?
The Medrash. So it comes out, according to that, that there were many countries that Ahasuerus didn't rule over. There were, in all those countries, if there were Jews living in those countries, they would have been safe. They wouldn't have never been threatened by Haman in the first place. Nevertheless, they're still told to keep the mitzvah to Purim as well, because all Jews are one body.
Love Israel.
Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara asks still, Ve'ema prozim ba'aveisa, maybe say that it means, the reason why the Gemara is asking all this is because the Megillah never actually spells out in so many words when the Orim HaMokofos are supposed to celebrate Purim. It says that the Yehudim HaProzim celebrated Purim on the 14th. Later on, it says that Mordechai and Esther sent to them, that Mordechai and the Sanhedrin, and later on Mordechai and Esther, sent them to, that they should keep as Yom Abba Aser V'Yesim Chamisha Aser. But it never actually spells out that Chamisha Aser is for Mukafer. That's why the Gemara has to go through the possibility. So, okay, so we rejected the possibility that the Mukafim are not going to celebrate at all because they are Yisrael and the whole thing was Mahodi Bad Push. Okay, but the aim of Prozim Ba'abeis, so maybe say that it means the unwalled cities have to celebrate Purim on the 14th. Mukafim Ba'abeis are Ubachameis, so maybe it means the walled cities celebrate on both days, the 14th and the 15th. And there might be a logic to that. I mean, they did the main battle on the 13th, they did a secondary battle on the 14th, you know. Yeah. They had to kiddichtiv, and that would be like it says in the pasuk: Liyos oisim asiyim abba asim lachodesh adar ve'asiyim chamisha asim by b'chol shana. To keep the 14th and the 15th every year. So maybe it means the mukafim have to keep both days. The answer is no. Yeah, because of asiyim abba asim b'chamisha asim k'dikamer. If it said the 14th and 15th, then yeah, you'd be right. It means that some people have to keep both days. Hashidichtiv asiyim abba asim v'asiyim chamisha asim also es umasik. That s comes and breaks things up. Meaning that there's 14th and there's 15th, S for those and S for those, right? Each one has its own thing. So one group is on the 14th, one group is on the 15th. Okay, like Mara still, aim of Prozim Ba'abeisa. Maybe what it means is like this. The Prozim have to read the Megillah and do the other mitzvah support him on the 14th. Mukafin, the world cities, Ibo Ba'abeisa, Ibo Ba'abeisa. They have their choice. They could do it on the 14th if they want, on the 15th if they want. Maybe that's what it means. The answer is Amak Rabbi Zmanehim. Zmanehim. We said before from the word Zmanehim, since it's Zmanehim, whatever. Yeah, it means each one has a separate day. Each with the time of one is not like the time of the other. Okay. The question still is the aim of the place. Say maybe that the walled cities celebrate Purim a day earlier on the 13th. And just Kishushan. We make them like Shushan. Shushan itself, they celebrate it on the 15th. So evidently, the implication is, even though the pasuk doesn't spell it out, doesn't say anything except for it mentions the unwalled cities and it mentions Shushan, it doesn't mention anything about the walled cities. But by implication, the other walled cities are going to be like Shushan in that way. They're going to be the 15th. Ashkechon Asiya. Okay, so far so good. We found then the pasuk. Now there's two different things. We know there's four major mitzvahs of Purim. One of them is Kriyas HaMegillah. The other ones are eating the Suda, Shalach Manas, and Matanas Lev Yonim. Now, I'm giving a background before I say these next words. Ashkechan Asiya. The pasuk, when it talks about the 14th, it doesn't say anything about reading the Megillah, actually. The expression in the pasuk is that Alkeina Yehudim Prozim Ayoshim Ora Prozim, they make the 14th as Yom HaBas HaLachodeshboi, Simcha U'mishta V'yomtov, U'mishloach Manas Ishloeh. It doesn't say anything about reading the Megillah. So they make it a yomtiv, right, by having a suda and sending shalach manas, and later on the pasuk adds matanas levyanim. Doesn't say anything about actually reading the Megillah on that day. So that's the question. Ashkechan Asiya. We find that the pasuk says that the prozim have to do the mitzvah support him, the other three mitzvahs, on the 14th. Chira minala, and how do we know they also have to remember the story by reading the Megillah, also on the 14th. Amakra, because the pasuk says, Vayom ma'ilin is korim benasim. The pasuk says these days are remembered and kept and done. So we're making a hekesh between the remembering, which is done by reading the Megillah, and the doing, which is done by Shalach Manas and the Soda and so forth. So yes, whenever one happens is when the other one happens. We're saying that the Purim Soda itself, we're saying that the Prozim originally on their own came up with the idea of making a Soda on the 14th. And then later on, Mordechai and the Sanhedrin established it as a chayva for them. Then that includes also reading the Megillah. It also includes reading the Megillah because it's Nitzorim Benassi. No, so the hekesh is that whenever a particular group is doing nasim is when they do nisgarim. Since we've established that there's the 14th and the 15th, that the prozim have one and the mukafim by implication have the other, then that means each one does all of the mitzvahs on the same day. Now, we mentioned in the Mishnah that the definition of walled cities is the walled mimos Yeshua ben Nun.
The what?
We said in the Mishnah, the definition of walled cities is a walled mimos Yeshua ben Nun.
Meaning
that they had a wall from the time, they had a wall already from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Meaning even if they don't have a wall now. So if you have proof, yeah. That definition of walled cities comes up in other places in Halacha as well. For example, the din that if you sell a house in a walled city, you have a year to buy it back, and if not, then it's a goner, and then the other guy keeps it. That also applies to cities that were walled from Yeshua ben Nun.
next. The Gemara points out, Masnissin de loiki haitana. Our Mishnah then is not like the following Tana. Cities that are walled from the times of Achashverosh, from the times of actual Megillah, not from Yeshua ben Nun, 1,000 years earlier. Koyin b'chamish also. My time is the Rabbi Shoban Kochah. So what's Rabbi Shoban Kochah's reason? The reason is Ki Shushan. He figures the other cities should be just like Shushan. Ma Shushan b'kefes chaimim ma'is achashverosh v'koyin b'chamishah. So Shushan was walled in the times of achashverosh. We don't know. We have no evidence that it was walled in the times of Yeshua. And they read on the 15th. Afkoshim b'kefes chaimim ma'is achashverosh v'koyin b'chamishah. So the same thing. Any other walled city in the times of achashverosh. The Tana Didan by Taima. So what's Artana's reason that he says they're not? Why Taka does Artana go back to Yeshua ben Nun? The reason is Yalef Prazi Prazi. He makes a Zayr Shav between the two words Prazi.
That what?
So to understand what the word Prazi means, he uses a Zayr Shav. Ksiv Hacha Al Kena Yehudim a Prazim. It says if it uses the Jews are Prazim, who live in unwalled cities, make Purim on the 14th. Ksiv Hasem, and it says in a pasuk in Parshas Devarim, Levad Me Orei Ha Prazi Haber Ma Orei. Moshe is describing how they conquered the lands of Siphon and Og. There's many walled cities besides for Orei Ha Prazi, besides for many unwalled cities. Malahala and Mimoyz Yeshua ben Nun, it says we have a Kepheth Chaim, but actually that should be taken out because we're not talking about walled cities, we're talking about unwalled cities, whatever. Just like they were talking about from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, that's talking about the end of Moshe's life. I know. We're doing it over here in a way that's calculated, not. I think we're doing it in a way that's not bothering people, but alright. They're preparing a bris. Alright. I don't want to say I told you so, but I told you so. Yeah. No. Okay. So we have to say a between the two words prazi. So there it's talking about the times of Moshe. Moshe was still alive at the time they conquered Sichon and Og. So at the beginning of Yeshua, Yeshua is already alive then, and soon afterwards they conquered Eretz Yisrael. This is the beginning of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, so we talk about it in terms of Yeshua. So Mala, so Afkan Mimoyz Yeshua ben Nun. So the same thing over here. When the Pasuk is saying Afkazim means ones that are unwalled as of the times of Yeshua ben Nun. If they're walled in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, then there's We'll be done in a few minutes. Okay, I can understand why Rabbi Shoban Kochel does not hold like our Tana, the less they prazi prazi. Obviously, Rabbi Shoban Kochel did not have the Kabbalah from his teacher. This is Zeta Shava prazi prazi. El Tani Didan, my time alone with Rabbi Shoban Kochel. So why Taka doesn't our Tana say like Rabbi Shoban Kochel? Okay, you have a Zeta Shava, very nice, but still, that's what I mean. My time alone, he said prazi prazi. Okay, he has Zeta Shava, of course he doesn't have to hold like Rabbi Shoban Kochel. The answer is Hachakama. What the Gemara means to ask is like this: Ela Shushan de Abdin Kaman. Then who is Shushan? When there were Jews in Shushan nowadays who read on the 15th, who are they following? Loike Prozim, Loike Mokofen. They seem to be not like Prozim and not like Mokofen. Because according to Rabbi Shoban Kochel, fine, they were walled in the times of Achashverosh. Of course they read on the 15th. According to the Chachamim, it's a given that the Jews of Shushan read on the 15th. Why? They were Prozim in the times of Yeshua. They were prazim in the times of Yeshua, therefore they should be considered prazim. They should read on the 14th, but they don't. They read on the 15th. Why? Amar Rava. So Rava says, but Amri lo Kidi, or others say that Kidi said this. So Kidi. Some Rishonim explain that Kidi is the name of an Amara. Others explain, particularly the Gaonim explain this, that Kidi means whenever you have something anonymous that all the Chachamim agreed on unanimously, then we say Kidi. The answer is Chinese Shushan Hova Nasaba Nes. Shushan is different. The Nes itself happened in Shushan, so therefore we make an exception to that. Even if one's not common, that we say we go according to Yeshua ben Nun, nevertheless we make an exception for Shushan because that's where the actual Nes happened on the 15th. No, so we're still keeping the Gzeira Shava Prazi Prazi for the rest of it. Right. A couple of things on this, by the way. The Yerushalmi has a different explanation why they went all the way back to the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. Because in the times of the story of Megillah, Eretz Yisrael was desolate. Even if there were Jews living there, the cities were not walled. If they made a takana that you lay in the walled cities, all of Eretz Yisrael is going to be accepted from that. It would be a bizoyan to Eretz Yisrael. So to give honor to Eretz Yisrael, they went back to the time of Yehoshua ben Nun when many of the cities in Eretz Yisrael were walled, and then they used as a basis for it the fact that the first defeat of Amalek, was done by Yehoshua, by Yahweh Yeshua, Amalek. That we read on Purim morning. So therefore, that's a certain reason to make that you go back to Yeshua's time to determine a din for the Megillah reading. There is also Rishonim talk about the question: does this din of Makapas Choma apply to cities outside of Israel or not? Some of them say no, it only applies to cities in Eretz Yisrael, because only we're talking about from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, who was cities outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's not relevant what was going on at the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. He didn't conquer them anyhow. Other Mephoshim said no, it doesn't matter. That's just establishing a time frame. Any city in the world, the halacha is actually like that opinion, and that's what we see for that in the Gemara. Any city in the world, as a practical matter, there's very few cities in the world where we know that they had a wall in the times of Yehoshua. Although I have seen an interesting thing many years ago, someone pointed out to me that there were actually cities in Europe where they used to read the Megillah on the 15th. Prague, Krakow, a couple of others where they had been.
My family's area.
I think they read it on both, actually. I'm not sure. But Baghdad is more of a reason to, at least, Baghdad may well have been more clever from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. Yeah, but. Right. So there's many cities in Eretz Yisrael where they read it on both the 14th and the 15th, because there's a lot of cities in, other than Yerushalayim, there's a lot of cities in Eretz Yisrael which we know were walled in the old days, but we don't know whether the city is still in the same place it was before. Hebron, Shechem, Yericho, a bunch of them.
Yericho,
I'm not sure. Actually, I'm not so sure about Yericho. Maybe, I mean, I don't know if there's any Jews in Yericho now, but there's a number of cities around Eretz Yisrael where they do that. They read on the 14th and the 15th. They read on the 14th with a bracha and the 15th without. We'll have later in the paragraph, we'll have something about that as well. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Latati Didan, I can understand according to our time. Hainu Desiv, this is why the Pasuk says, Medina Medina, the ear for ear. The Pasuk says that the Megillah is read in every Medina and in every ear. What does it mean? Medina u Medina, in a Medina, which means a large city, and a Medina, means Lachalik, Ben Makov and Chaim, Meitzir Shobin Nun, Makov and Chaim, Meitzachavir. It means there's a distinction. There's a certain kind of Medina when you read it on one day, and a certain kind of Medina, which wasn't walled in the time of Yeshua, but is walled now in the time of the Machashverish, that we read on the 14th. And ear the ear, Nami, Lachalik, Ben Shoshan, Lashar, Ayaris. And the word ear comes to teach us that there's a difference among cities that were not walled in the time of Yeshua. There's a difference in Shoshan and everywhere else. So according to Chaim, that's why we need both of those statements.
Between
cities that were walled in the time of Yeshua and are not walled now, like the cities of Eretz Yisrael, versus a city that was not walled in the time of Yeshua, Shushan, and which is walled in the time of Achashverosh. I can understand why you have Medina Medina to distinguish between Shushan and other cities. El ir v'ir l'may also, what the word ir v'ir, what does that come to teach us? We'll answer you back. After all, according to the Tanakhama, is it good either? How do you understand it according to him? Given the Islay, Prazi Prazi, one, if he holds up this Zeta Shava of Prazi, Medina Medina Lomali, then what does he need the words Medina Medina for? Anyway, according to him, you have extra words. Ella Kra the Drasha would also, but rather the Pasif comes to teach us the Drasha. It comes to teach us what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said. The Amr Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Krach v'chol ha-samachloi, a walled city, and anything that's nearby it, v'chol ha-nira'imah, and anything that can be seen together with it. We'll talk about tomorrow in the Gemara the exact definition of that. Nidon k'krach is considered like part of the walled city. They also read on the 15th. That's what it means. When it says Medina, Medina, ear for ear, means that besides for the Medina itself, you have areas outside the Medina. Besides for the ear, you have areas outside the ear. Ad Kama, how far can it be away? Amr Rabbi Yomi, Yitem Rabbi Chiba'am, Kima Chamsen L'Tveria, like the distance from Chamsen till Tveria, which is Mil. mil. So just say straight out. It means a mil, up to a mil. The answer is hakam mashmalon. By the way, Rabbi Yirmi wants to, Rabbi Abba wants to inform us, the shiur of the mil, kamahabi kamachamsin the Tveria. You should know how long is a mil, the distance from Chamsin to Tveria. Like when you had a measured thing like that already, then you use it as a measure. We had a similar thing. We didn't have an Erevin, we had a Psachim, a similar thing. Kimi Migdal Nunya the Tveria, yeah. Actually, Reb Levick has over there in the Kutta Levi Yitzchak has a long explanation of the Kabbalah of the two different things, why over here we're saying Kimchamsen and why over there we're saying Kimigdal Nunya. One thing is he explains, based on this whole idea that I was saying before, that the five times that you can read the Megillah represent the five Gvuras, Mansapach, which is the next thing we are going to talk about, which will be for tomorrow. He says Chamsen also represented Gvuras. Chamsen, Meloshet Chema, anger. No, heat and anger represent the Gemara, so therefore the Gemara here specifically over here goes from Chamsen to Tveria.
Tveria,
I think he says, represents Malchus. Tveria also, the Gemara is going to say in a few days why it was called Tveria. But yeah.